pretty standard and typical on this Sunday to have that particular story, to have that particular lesson read. And if I'm going to be honest, while I don't have a patron saint, if I did have a patron saint, it probably would be Thomas. And poor Thomas gets beat up so much and so often. One of the first things I want to point out is while Jesus said, "Blessed are those," he never did say that Thomas wasn't blessed as well. I sometimes think the church has done a disservice historically for critical thinkers and for people who want to challenge and question, mainly because they want to experience and know that something is real. That was me growing up. That was me for a while keeping the church at arm's length, and that's me finally, after years, going back into the church and then into the vocation of ministry. But in the midst of all of that, I never have ever lost my inquisitive nature to figure out why things are and why they're not. Reverend Dr. Cheryl Lindsay begins her weekly UCC sermon seeds with this idea. The biblical narrative is full of messengers. Angels deliver instruction and revelation to those that the Holy One wants to communicate a special assignment. Prophets are charged with speaking truth to power, conveying the heart of God and pleading on behalf of the people. Jesus enters creation as the full embodiment of the Holy One, the message made flesh and dwelling among us, preparing, equipping, and empowering his disciples to continue as messengers of the good news. That was central to Jesus' ministry. For how else would that message spread? So if you are like me on this particular Sunday after Easter, again, you hear poor doubting Thomas, although he was never called that by Jesus. Time and time again, he gets lifted up as the poster child for what not to do by sometimes, I think, well-meaning congregations. I'm going to go a different direction with this morning's message, because what I'm wondering is, those other disciples, the ones that did have that first encounter. Oh, I promised I wasn't going to wander this morning. That's okay. Did you notice within the reading, where were they? They had seen, they had experienced, they were given a blessing by Jesus to go and serve and to witness and they were locked in a room. After Thomas has his experience, where do we find those other disciples still locked in that room? And for the longest time in this passage, I have related to Thomas so much, but I got to admit to all of you today, in these days, I find myself relating more and more with those other disciples. Locked in a room, figuratively, afraid of what's going out in the world, watching the world that I try to understand sort of collapse in on itself, and not sure exactly what to do, not sure exactly what to say, and so I stay sequestered oftentimes in my own space of what I think is safety and security. Oftentimes I think we as church also are sort of at a loss, at least us mainline, our progressive-minded churches. Things seem to have been going pretty well for a while, and then, I don't know, something happened, and things shifted. And rather than going sideways, it feels, oh, so much that things have gone backwards. And so sometimes the easiest thing to do is to sit off, to sequester, perhaps wait it out. Certainly things will change if we just lay low. Maybe something will happen that will change hearts, that will change minds, and things will start getting better again. Sometimes there is a fear, for myself at least, to even in certain areas, even use the word Christian. Because of what is now being related to the general public as Christianity is a very frightening, and I will use the word, you do not, but I will use the word evil, Christian nationalism. That I find nothing about gospel anywhere within it or its context. And yet it wants to use the cross and it wants to use the term Christianity to the point that those of us who have what I like to think is a deeper and more historical understanding of our faith sort of aren't really sure what to say, what to counter. And so once again, we lock ourselves in rooms and we stay quiet. Well, not all of us. I am so enamored, proud of those who speak up, attend, write, do whatever it is they feel they are compelled to do in the spirit of Christ to change the world. Sometimes I was talking with the group up here about, is there a difference between seeing and experiencing? And here's the danger inviting somebody who has served as many churches that I have doing transitional work, is if I just took a favorite story from every congregation that I have served, we're here for about 2.5 hours. Are we good with that? Oh, you don't have many friends after this. How about I share one particular favorite story? My first experience into the United Church of Christ. I am ordained Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We're really, really closely connected in so many ways, especially here in Ohio. But my first foray into the United Church of Christ was serving a new church startup in the Canton, Ohio area called New Vision. They had the audacity to call a straight white guy to serve a predominantly LGBTQ faith community. After a period of time there, and it was a funky congregation, and I use funky in all of the most appropriate and loving and wonderful ways as I can, one Sunday, a couple that were dressed to the nines, I mean, he was decked out in a three-piece suit, and she had dress and hat, and boy, was that a different vibe than anything we were doing at that church at that time, walked in carrying their King James Bibles, and I knew exactly what had happened. They missed one key word, which is united. They were convinced they were coming to a Church of Christ congregation. I imagine it was horror that I saw on their faces as they looked around. And then they heard me start to speak. And I was really expecting them to get up and to leave within about 5-10 minutes. But they sat. I was looking forward to going and introducing myself, but as soon as the service was over, they were out the door. And I assumed we would never see them again. And then the following Sunday occurred. And they came back to church dressed to the nines, King James Bibles in hand, looking a little less horrified, still sitting rather rigid, rather stiff, still taking in the sights and the sounds and everything else around them. And once again, as soon as the service was over, they were out the door. Well, this repeated for a couple of times, and I was baffled. Until about the fourth visit, They stuck around and asked if they could talk to me after the service. So we went back into my office and they said, "Pastor, we're really confused, but we're also really hurting. We are hearing what your church is saying, and we don't understand that, but we're liking the people that we're meeting. And the reason we are looking for a new church is our son is getting ready to be released from prison. And our home church has said he's not welcome there. Would he be welcome here? We've heard you talk about everybody is welcome. We have heard you say that you are an open congregation, which is having us come back a second and a third time. But we don't want to set him up." To which I simply said, "This is an open congregation. We will love everyone who walks in our doors, whether we agree or understand them or what they've done. This is a place of grace." By the time I left that new church and went to work on our conference staff, they were still there. They were still pretty much dressing to the nines. I can't recall if they were still carrying their King James Bibles in with them or not. We still had some very interesting conversations on LGBTQ inclusion, because years of learning one thing sometimes takes a while to begin to believe and understand something differently. But they kept coming back. And the congregation loved them. And they loved their son when he came. Sometimes hearing something is one thing. Sometimes experiencing it is a totally different animal. Here's a problem when you go off notes. You go, "Where exactly was I?" And I'm not playing video games. I preach off my phone. Here's the thing, though. I want to go back to another thing from Cheryl, Reverend Cheryl Lindsay. She asks, "What would it be like if the church, each of us, fully embraced the power of the resurrection and the ongoing power of the resurrected life and spirit in us to continue the miraculous, transforming, and salvific work of Christ in a world in need of new life, hope, love, and peace?" I shared, this was like the books that I gravitated to when I was younger. I'm to the point now where I think I'm going to stop at the library this week and see about getting the updated versions, because the inquisitive part of me wants to learn more, like maybe the biggest hamburger in the world, or maybe the number of hula hoops has been surpassed, or who knows? But I have a new set of favorite books, and they're books by authors who help us imagine church in today and what it can be like to be that place where people have transforming experiences, much like the couple that I had at New Vision. One of my favorites is a gentleman by the name of Philip Gully, and I don't know if any of you have read any of Philip's works. He's co-authored three amazing books that I've led Bible studies or book studies on with congregations. One is called If God is Love. The second is If Grace is True. And my favorite out of the three, If the Church Were Christian. He breaks that down into chapters, and I've done preaching sermons on preaching series on each one of the bullets. I may offend some of you, but I've not done my job if I don't have you at least wondering, thinking, questioning, ready to throw something at me. I don't know. Here are simply the chapters within the book. And if it gets you wondering at all, I would encourage you to go to the library and you can get Ripley's, or you might find Gully's book. But he leads with this. If the church were Christian, Jesus would be a model for living rather than an object of worship. If the church were Christian, affirming our potential would be more important than condemning our brokenness. If the church were Christian, reconciliation would be valued over judgment. If the church were Christian, gracious behavior would be more important than right belief. If the church were Christian, inviting questions would be more important than supplying answers. If the church were Christian, encouraging personal exploration would be more important than communal uniformity. If the church were Christian, it would be less preoccupied with sexual sin and more concerned about love. If the church were Christian, saving the earth would be more important than saving our souls. My friends, we too have been commissioned, much like in our scripture passage, we heard Jesus blessing and commissioning those early disciples to go out into the world. And they started in fear and they started in seclusion, but they eventually figured it out. They eventually got it right. They eventually went and did. We too have been commissioned, sent to move past comfort, complacency, and self-imposed confines into the redemptive and restorative ministry of Jesus Christ in the world. Perhaps like Ripley's, believe it or not, we can courageously invite those that we encounter to dare to discover the wonder of being a resurrection people. I mentioned it was great to have Ken up there on video to begin with us. I heard one, perhaps two, maybe three quietly muffled voices that were starting to sing a little bit in the very back. I'm going to invite you, as we close the message this morning, to sing together. I would invite you to echo after me. You can, if you feel emboldened enough, to sing it out loud. If you're one of those shy, introverted people that are afraid of your voice or afraid of whatever, I would still encourage you, if you agree, to sing it quietly or silently. Turn it over and turn it around. Turn it over and turn it around. In this country and in this town. In this country and in this town. Lose the old and gain the new. Lose the old and gain the new. Love and justice is what we'll do. Love and justice is what we'll do. One more time. Turn it over and turn it around.
Turn it over and turn it around.
In this country and in this town.
In this country and in this town.
Lose the old and gain the new.
Lose the old and gain the new.
Love and justice we will do. Love and justice we will do. May it be so.